What is repent? He said repentance is not, now I lay me down to sleep, save me, Lord, before I die, blah, blah, blah. It's not repentance. It's a lie to your God. Now, we can go mince straws over this and grind axes and everything else. Repentance is a change of mind.
That's right. Yeah.
If I change my mind about being here, I wouldn't be here tonight. You change your mind about your relationship with God, you won't be the same.
That's right.
You won't be a rebel.
Amen.
Quit hating people. You'll love your brother.
That's right.
Come on, now that one, that's right. I said, you'll love your brother. You'll love the brethren.
Amen.
And these got saved. She finally fessed up about a couple months later. She said, I really started to hate church people. That is a pastor on the Disney. It's hurting, wounding, talk about it. Her uncle's going to find some angels in America. All she sees all the heresy accusations and the great fellowship.
Sure.
Yeah. I said, if you love the brethren, it's a mark of salvation.
Yes, right.
You love your parents.
Yes.
Love your brother and sister.
Yes.
They don't get smoochy love like a bunch of perverts. For some of you, God.
Yeah.
Little gushy love.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all right to love your wife like that, but nobody else. Right. You start gushing on me, I'll punch you.
Some of you got that gushy love. Oh, I love you. Go get a TV program. When'd you repent?
Amen.
When'd you get done with your way? Return to Romans 10. I'm going to preach easy believers and tonight, but some of you haven't.
When did you repent? When were you finished with your way? You're rebellious, indignant, self-righteous, holier than thou, pharisaical way. When did you get done with that and realize I'm hopeless without Christ?
That's right.
Let me just be real clear about this. At that point, it really doesn't matter what you say.
Yeah.
I could have said, no, I'm less than y'all if I got saved at that point. Don't let that bother you.
Yeah.
I couldn't call on Yahweh because he doesn't say. Just want to make that clear. Yeah. Singing a little song about Yahweh, Yahweh. You came to that God, enjoy that. You know that, eh? Hey, who talked about that? That's where they are. Everybody's got their God. They don't have Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
When did King James Bible take root in your heart?
Amen.
When did it become a part of you?
Amen.
Did God speak to you in Greek?
I was laying in bed last night. And boy, just that Greek text just rolled all over my heart.
Some of you are going to get real. If this bothers you, it's going to get worse. Amen. If it bothers you, just raise your hand. I'll buy you a fish sandwich. It's not that much money. Oh, I just love Greek word studies. That's because you don't read the Bible.
Yeah.
I just love. Let's be honest. What's a Greek word study? You go look what James Strong said and act like you learned something.
Yeah.
If that's too plain for you, it's going to get worse. Why don't you study the Bible that God gave you in your language?
Amen.
That's right.
It's not chicken soup for the soul. Go ahead. I'm in your bathroom. My brother Rose had a good use for it in his illustration the other day. He said, oh, preacher, I spent time with the Lord this morning. It's about a half a page devotional. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just saying, what is the Word of God? When did it take root in your heart? You and my love is the Word of God.
Amen.
Yeah.
Word of God ministers to me. The Word of God speaks to me. The Word of God feeds me. Preacher, I'm just not getting fed. Now listen, I'm 51 years old. I learned about 1.5 years old. If I'm hungry and mama's not around, I know what the food is.
Yeah.
I'll feed myself.
Yes.
Newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word they may grow thereby.
Sure.
I got off the milk a long time ago. Oh, preacher, we're just not being fed over here. That's because you're lazy.
Yeah.
Like a baby bird. Been saved 20 years, your mouth open. He said, there's a time when you age it. Ought to have strong meat for someone else. But no, you don't. You know why? There's no discernment.
Yeah.
There's no discernment. Why is there no discernment? Because you can't be honest about what you're seeing, hearing, smelling. Kind of use an illustration. I'm trying to be crude, but I'm a little more. Brother Rose is very much a southern gentleman, and I'm a Yankee jerk. There's a big difference between us. If you go in the bathroom, I don't care who you are, you get done, it stinks.
Yeah.
And yours stinks.
Yeah.
But some of you don't think it does. Some people open their mouth, and every word that comes out of their mouth stinks.
Yeah.
Physically and spiritually.
Yeah.
They spew out garbage. They think it's spiritual. Now listen, this isn't original to me, but I like it. I've used it for years. What's the difference between a testimony and testimony?
Yeah.
A testimony is what the Lord has done. You know what the other one is? Testimony is what you've done.
Yeah.
You know what you hear most times? Testimony.
Yeah.
I did. When did you repent? When did God work in your life? When did the miracle of the new birth, if you can explain the new birth, by the way, it's probably not a miracle. Come on, scientist. Explain your first birth. Don't be crude. My father and mother came together. What happened after that? Oh, scientists go, well, that first cell divided, and no cells divided, and then they're full of it. They lie. They don't know what happened. It's hey, look up here. It's a miracle.
Yes.
Those organs form. I remember the first time each of our children had to go and get an ultrasound. It's all the little eyeballs. Miss Chelsea was sending my wife updates. My wife would show me this hideous alien picture. My wife would go, oh, he's so precious. I'm like, yes. It's a miracle.
Yes.
It's of God.
That's
right. Every birth is of God.
Amen.
It's a birth of God. It's a blessing from God. God performs it.
Yes.
Amen. Such a new birth.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Listen, Brother Hart, I've studied salvation for 27 years. I know more about salvation doctrinally than probably about 99.9% of people who claim to be saved. Now, that's not me being cocky. You want to prove it? Anybody can sit down and talk. I know the doctrine of salvation. I don't know anything else, but I know the doctrine of salvation inside now. Now, you come and say, well, Brother, I explained the book of Ezekiel. I just said, thank God, it's saved, run out of the room. Amen. When it comes to doctrine of salvation, you're not going to shake me up on it.
Yeah.
You would have found out for 27 years of studying, it was a miracle of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Was it born of the blood? Was the will of the flesh? That means it wasn't because I wanted to be saved.
That's right.
You want the will of man? It wasn't my mama wanted me to say, the preacher wanted me to say, but of God.
Amen.
It was a miracle of God.
Right.
Yes. By the way, he'll perform that with every repentant
soul.
Amen.
He is not willing that any should perish, but that all, now here's the problem, should come to repentance. I tried to find one time things that accompany salvation. It had too small of a sheet. Then on the back of it had enough sheet paper. And I still haven't exhausted the things that accompany salvation.
That's right.
If someone said, here know a man, if I said his name, he'd probably just shout, somebody might run out the door. Highly educated intellectual. Earned doctorate degrees. Amen. Graduated in medical school. Texas pastor this morning said, Pastor, he said, since I got saved, he said, I never understood. You talk about being a new creature.
He said, my health's even better.
Amen.
He said, my blood pressure's down.
Amen.
He said, I think I'd be off my CPAP machine, too. I've lost 12 pounds since I've been sick.
Hallelujah.
I've never been so happy. He said, my children have been better. My marriage has never been better. And then he said, my life has never been better.
Amen.
That's called salvation.
Amen.
Some of your lives have been hell since you said you got saved.
Oh, my.
Wow. Rebellion. Strive, barriers, curse of your father and mother. What the new birth does, you love your parents.
Yeah. That's right.
Yep.
You love your mom and dad.
Yep.
Yes.
Wicked little girls listen to me. I said, you love your mom and dad.
Yep.
You'll go thank them. It won't be a bunch of tested below you. You'll go thank them putting you in the house of God.
Amen.
Amen. Salvation is a miracle.
Amen.
He said on this wise, if thou shalt believe in thine heart,
amen,
thou shalt be saved. Look at verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The single standalone doctrine of the word of God.
Amen.
Nobody gives it any other supporting verses. It itself is a doctrine itself. It stands alone. We don't need anything else as long as we can quote that verse. But you don't want to miss verse 14.
That's right.
That's right.
But most of you did.
Yeah. Right.
You say, how can you say that? Because I've been doing this a long time. And if Pastor Harvey can say it, why can't I? If Brother Rose can say it, why can't I?
Yeah.
You see people's faces. They're miserable under preaching.
Yeah.
They hate being pricked in the heart.
Yeah.
Why is God pricking you in the heart? Oh, I don't read my Bible and pray enough. Oh, I better read my Bible more. Do you realize how effeminate that is, boys?
I'm going to say, young lady, preacher, pray, don't read my Bible, pray enough. But the boy said, preacher, pray, read my Bible. Son, be a man. Be honest. You're just full of sin. You're full of the devil. You hate God. Just be honest. Then be a man and be honest about it. That's not, your problem is not reading your Bible, praying enough. Your problem is you hate God.
That's yeah. Right. Tell
him. Now, I know, again, here we go. There's one of those weird and vague doctrines again. How can you serve two masters? Except you love the one and hate the other.
Yes.
There you go. That's what it says.
You can't serve yourself and serve God.
That's right.
Yeah.
You can't love yourself.
That's right.
And love God.
Yes.
Where God gives illustration about my wife. No man hates his own flesh. Or despises his own flesh. But what did we nourish? I told you I don't know how to eat on my own. You better love God.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, this backtrack way back. The miracle of the new birth fixes all that. Just lay that out. You can't help but love God. He said, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
Yes.
You can't help but love.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Now, hey, because I tell you the truth. You think Paul didn't love them because he told them the truth? You think Jesus Christ didn't love them because he told them the truth? You think John the Baptist didn't love them because he called them serpents and vipers?
The truth shows it will make you free.
Amen.
Do you love the truth? You just love religion.
Yeah.
Do you love Bible stories? Or do you love the Bible? You know, there's a doctrine in the story of Lazarus. There's a doctrine, I'm trying to get there, by the way. There's a doctrine in the story of Zacchaeus. There's a doctrine
and the healing of the blind, the healing of the leper, the woman with the issue of blood. There is a doctrine. Let me just say this. Do you love doctrine? You say, what is doctrine? Truth.
Yeah.
Truth. Do you love doctrine? So why don't you study doctrine? Why don't you study the Word of God? Well, I thought preachers were supposed to do that. No, they don't do that, but you want to. I might mess up my free eye if I study too much.
Yeah.
It's something I learned a long time. My preaching is as effective as my study habits.
Amen.
And your Christian life's going to be as effective as your study habits.
Yeah.
You know why some people don't even try to outgrow their pastor? Because that's all they have. Whatever he teaches them, that's all they have.
Yeah.
And so if he's mad half the time, and you know, they're all been at the church, you know what that's like. Preachers, pastors, or pastors are mad about half the time. And I go to other churches, they're mad all the time. The pastor's just mad. David Burney got even mad all the time. He loves people.
Amen.
Amen.
His people love him. You know, PSDA smart guy who got saved the other week, remember his charge.
Amen.
Oh boy's hanging his head one day, staring down at the floor. Brother Vernon said, son, look up here a bit. He wouldn't look up at him. He said, son, I said, look up here a bit. Rebellion.
Right.
He wouldn't look up. Well, Zach told me his dad laid on his back underneath that man, on his back, staring up into his eyeballs. He just sat there staring at the floor. And he said, son, are you looking at me now? Now I know in this room is when I wouldn't do that. I said 2 weeks ago.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Most churches would run through the Romans Road trying to hang him out to dry. They're trying to get him to repeat a prayer and get him hanging out to dry. No change, no godly life, no godly living. And you say, how did another man God say, I don't know for sure. But I know one thing. His wife complained to her mama. She said, Eric's keeping us up. He's out in the yard preaching at 3 o'clock in the morning at the top of his wife.
Yeah.
Does that bother you? Does that bother you? Hey, man. Hallelujah. It's a changed life.
Hey. Hear me.
The house they call upon him. Verse 14, whom they've not believed.
Amen.
Who do you believe on? The name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Well, I'll go ahead. Sometimes I get nervous about things, and I know people don't understand me. But somebody asked me, they said, what's the difference between believe in him and believing on him? Well, on him is factual. That's my faith. I believe on Jesus Christ. I believe all the facts about him. I believe he was crucified according to the scriptures.
Yes.
I believe he went into a clean tomb. Anyway, by the way, he was taken outside the camp into a clean place, that body was. Amen. Amen. And they put him in a clean place. And after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, he resurrected from that clean place according to the scriptures.
Amen.
That was in the right hand of the Father making intercession for us according to the scriptures. I believe the facts of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It wasn't me to believe in him. That's his faith.
That's right.
Yeah.
Justified by faith. How do you know you believe in him? For I'm crucified with Christ. Flesh is to the Father. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth. Somebody help me out there.
In
me. Why in me? Because I'm in him.
Right.
The life that I now live in the flesh, I live in faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Yes.
For by grace are you saved. Through faith. And they said one time, he said, well, that That's my faith. I said, well, enjoy that. Through faith. Whose faith am I going through?
Yeah.
Pastor Harvest? Brother Roses? By grace, you say, through faith. Whose faith? The faith of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We have the same spirit of faith, I believe, therefore have I spoken. That not of yourselves, not my faith. It is a gift of God.
Sure.
Yeah.
Can I say this? To every repentant sinner.
Yes.
Every repentant sinner. Now you say, how do you know who's a repentant sinner? Because they're born of God. And they'll speak up.
Yeah.
And they'll testify up. And they'll live it. I said they'll live it.
Yes.
Amen.
You know you got saved because you quit losing your temper so much. Come on now.
Yeah.
You know you're not supposed to be saved, so quit fighting with the parents. Is that chirping? What? Here, the Church of American, this is often your credits tonight.
Yeah.
By grace you say through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Faith is not a word, so it's any man should boast. For we are, in present tense, active tense, his workmanship, created in it. But look where this is now, in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
What did I have to do with that? Now, don't think I'm mocking. I prayed a prayer.
I've gone to doors and knocked on doors of people that prayed a prayer. By the way, the whole world's been inoculated. I'm the first person I heard say that, but that was a great illustration. It's like the measles vaccine. The little prayer is an inoculation to the truth. You can go down to the bar and drink liquor and be saved.
Yeah.
You can be a dope addict and be saved. I'm not throwing stones, but relative of Chelsea's we know, relative of Nate's they know, some distant relative, their dad, popping pills up in the prophet's chamber at the church, telling people we're saved with the good grace of God. By the way, we quit popping pills, God's sake. Just throwing that out. I said we quit popping pills just a couple weeks, God's sake. His mind was clear. Brother Maury, we had a chance to preach Brother Dale Maury in Mount Alta. Now, I know you all think I'm pretty highfalutin and big time and well known throughout the world.
Yeah.
You can dispute that. Is there anybody with a bigger name of angels than today than Timothy McVeigh?
No,
that's not. Thank you. I mean, everybody knows who I am. People go, I've heard of you. And then a lot of people go, are you on television? And I go, well, they did interview me at the mall one time about snow shovels, but anyway, okay. We did do a night. We got on TV last year at the Ice Festival. And when they interviewed, and listen, and my wife's trying to hold, she's going like this, trying to hold my thighs up so you can see the camera. You can see. And Bobby's down, and he's trying to see the camera. You know, you see this little blonde hair going. You know, they get on TV. There's a superstar daddy. TV of angels. And they said, why do you come to the ice festival? It's right on TV for everybody to see. I got a good witness here, I told you. For the food.
Hey.
You said, what kind of witness is that? They cut out the rest. Amen. They had it, not me. Hey, I didn't have it. They had it. It'd be good to pay.
Yeah.
But Dale Maury went out to Pennsylvania preaching in an outdoor pavilion. Now, the week before, we had 12 people with my family in service. But all Brother Maury was there, so a whole family showed up from West Virginia, and some other folks had 30 people in this pavilion in a park in Mount Alto, Pennsylvania. It's a local church. They don't have room for people. They try to invite folks to come, had a chance to preach in the park with Brother Maury. Thank God for him. Remember what Brother Maury said? He said when he came off of drugs, it's like dropping drugs, painkillers, anti-suicide drugs, antidepressants. I said, when he came off of those drugs, he said, all of a sudden, his conscience was awakened.
Yeah.
And he said it hurt more than anything else he's ever felt in his life.
Right.
What that's called? Conviction.
Yeah.
What'd you do to conviction?
Amen.
That's right.
When did it occur? When did you realize your sin was against God?
Yes, sir.
David the psalmist said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Your conscience is awakened to your plight. Your conscience is awakened to your need of God. It's a painful thing. So what do? We fight it. By the way, they've been fighting for 2,000 years. Stephen preached that were pricked in the heart. Cut in the heart, rather. And Peter preached that were pricked in the heart. Who was? Paul was. Because the Lord told him, why kickest thou against the pricks? The Lord's trying to show him he's a covetous man. He's lustful. Yeah. And he's pricking him with the word of God. He's pricking him with the law. He's pricking him with the prophets. And then Christ dies on the cross. He is a fulfillment of all scripture. And it cut him to the heart. And the Lord said, why kickest thou against the pricks?
Yeah.
I love what he says. Who art thou? Then he kind of answers some questions.
Yeah.
Lord.
Yeah.
You said, when did Paul get saved? Well, Brother Rose is going to have a discourse in 6 seconds. Yeah. On that 10-second timeline, he's going to explain to you in either 6 seconds or 9 seconds, wherever Paul got saved, Brother Rose knows, he's going to go through all that and have the science of all that. No, I forgot. It's a miracle of God.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I heard a man one time, he was under conviction out there, y'all. They're dealing with it. The preacher says, I think Stephen doubting might be something genetic because the people in his family doubt. I'm like, that's like saying sin's genetic. Yeah, my dad's a pervert, so I got the genetics of perverts.
Yeah.
My mom's a Jezebel, and I got her genetics. Amen. There's nothing I can do about it. He's down the altar, man, and says, brother, listen, if you can just say that Jesus is Lord by the Holy Ghost, you'll be saved. Can you say that Jesus is Lord? He's like, I don't know. Come on, say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. He said, did you pray it? Brother, a good man, by the way. Well respected preacher. He said, did you believe? When you said that Jesus is Lord, did you say that by the Holy Ghost? The guy's like, yeah. He called me up, called me back. Met him at McDonald's the next morning at 6 a.m. I'm sitting there at the table. I said, brother, you saved or lost? He said, I don't know. I said, I think you know. He said, I'm lost.
Yeah.
Go to church that night, they're praying about it, and got saved. Why? Because he said, Jesus is Lord with his lips. Thou shalt believe in thy heart.
Amen.
How shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? Yeah. Let me tell you how you say Jesus Lord by the Holy Ghost. Let me give you a little instruction. Amen. It's in your heart.
Yeah.
I say it's in your heart. Can you say it in your heart? Do you believe the word of God in your heart? Do you believe the gospel in your heart? Do you believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ in your heart? And immediately people go, well, oh yes, absolutely, yeah, sure. Why? Because their heart's their intellect.
Yeah.
I asked one time, I asked for a show of hands. I set people up with this stuff. They get irritated, but I set them up and I said, how many of you are following your heart today? I thought about doing it here tonight, but the parents have to. 50 hands went up. I said, you know, a fool follows his own heart.
Yeah.
That's what the word of God says. So I just told 50 people they were fools. Now, maybe somebody goes, well, maybe they didn't understand the question. No, I said it real clear. They said, well, maybe they were just confused. Why are they confused? A fool followeth his own heart. You'll fall lost.
Yeah.
That's what was over repentance. A good old girl comes up and says, I believe he's a good-hearted boy. I'm like, no, his heart's black and vile and wicked and has tar dripping off him. Are you kidding me? She's such a good-hearted girl. No, she's not. She's wicked. Her heart's desperately wicked. You don't marry because of her heart. It makes us God's will.
Amen.
Marry for heart, God's will. It's married for looks.
Amen.
Amen. The girl blows up one time, so you can better reconcile those things.
Yeah.
Because it's God's will. So I married for love. Enjoy that. Without a heart, you mentioned earlier, he made the statement. He said this life. He said, boys, your wife's going to get fat and ugly. You better marry because God's will. Woo! The reason why she is a rail. Because you're cold because you see it as a rail. I'm going to say something. He said this. But you learn to love her. Yeah. I'm going to tell you this. Why did God tell women that wives will learn to teach the younger to love their husbands? Did you know something? You don't have to teach people how to love God. Hey, born of God, you don't have to teach them. Hey, well, here's what you got to do. God spent 30 minutes in prayer every morning, 30 minutes in devotion time, reaching to your soul, one chapter a day. And then Joel Osteen's a better you, one chapter a day. And you'll learn to love God. You know how I learned to love God? God's new birth.
Amen.
Do you have to learn to love the brother? No. You know you pass from death into life. That's a confidence. Because you love the brother. Mm-hmm. I've got to surround myself with good men. And the assholes. Drive. Best thing about the assholes family the last 5 years is Samantha. Amen.
Woo!
Sam's not here, so I get away with that. You learn to love the brother. It's not hard. But some of you don't know something a little bit. Well, the hard behind we're allowed to be friends. We met out here, talked out here, right outside the gymnasium for about 3 minutes and become friends ever since. You know why? We love the brothers.
Sure.
Amen.
We love the brothers. We love God's people. We love the Word of God.
Amen.
What? Because it's in your heart.
Amen.
I think something bothers me today. This is not pet peeve. I've been in discussions, and I came with all the details in discussions the last couple of weeks. With several men, doctoral discussions, it's not a dispute on my part. I just tell them the facts that they dispute. I haven't paid half a baby has been sleeping yet. I'm bothered about that. They want to go off and go apostasy. Have at it. Enjoy it. It's a great ride up here. But the end's pretty rough. I said, the end's pretty rough.
Yes.
And it's not about me being right. It's not the word talking.
Yes.
But they dispute with non-biblical words.
Yes. Oh my, yeah.
That's what he said. You're telling me that he burned in hell? I said, I never said that. The rich man in hell being in what?
Torment.
I said, I didn't say burned. I said he was tormented in hell.
Yeah.
A little bit later on, he says, you know, he's talking about this whole matter of the soul of Jesus Christ and everything. And he says, well, I believe that's Abraham's bosom. And I said, well, then why in the world did the scripture say that the angels carried Lazarus into hell? That's Abraham's bosom. He's furious with me on the phone. And he's using words like, you know, well, we have to break fellowship. And I'm like, where's that in the Bible?
Yeah.
He said, you mark him and avoid him. Get all the money to go to him. If he will not receive you, take a witness. Does he not take a witness? Where's the witness? If that doesn't work, you're supposed to do, come to my church. You stand before my church, then you rail against me in front of people. Not sure on my side, because they're God's people. God's people make wise decisions. Non-biblical terminologies, non-biblical practice, non-biblical words because they don't have the Word of God in their heart. By the way, I told the one man, I said, brother, my pastor would be glad to sit down with us. This is what he said. Well, he's on your side. Now, I'm not always quick-witted. Yeah, I got children, I'm tired. I'm not quick-witted. I used to be. Then he was quick-witted. I was an idiot. I was a sarcastic and a jerk. There's a big difference. But I was quick-witted this time, and I said, oh, no, he's on God's side. He's on my side. He's on God's side. He said, well, you all preach all this stuff about easy believism. You know, you're a standing God. No, I don't even fear the Word of God. And that's what easy believism does. They play on the
toes.
I need you in a prayer. I know you're under conviction. Chomping your gum, picking your nose, scratching your arm. Some of this stuff gets out of your pretty right. In 27 years, you're still in there. Amen. Pray for it. They go around these people in a sinner's prayer. Oh, they're saved. And that's what they do, the work of the Holy Ghost. Tell them they're saved. You know how I know I'm saved, Brother Kevin. The Word of God tells me something.
Amen.
I've used illustrations here before, probably about 14 times. Some of you folks heard me preach more than once. You might have heard me say this more than once. I don't know I got married. Amen, John. How do you know you got married? Let me tell you something real quick. I heard a rumor of God. His new wife, her name's Samantha. By the way, they're going to give you wedding presents later. I'll be like this sandwiches. She come in the house. Now, this is where it's okay, Samantha. If you do it, that's up to her, okay? It's up to her. And she turned over the tables. And they said she chewed them out. Not because that's what young man living in his house right now. She's brought that. And she chewed them out about how trash the house was. And they thought that's beautiful. How do you think John knows he's married?
They can't live like a pig anymore!
Amen.
Yeah!
I'm so good now. I tell my children, pick your socks up. Your mom's not picking your socks up. That's how good I am. I never had to worry about Brother Rose. I keep my socks up, they stay in the corner for the next time. They don't bother me one bit. Diet change. My expenditures. Let me hit it where it hurts. My expenditures change.
Amen.
I didn't spend everything on me all of a sudden. My decor changed. My speech changed.
Yep.
My friends changed.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know about marriage. I roll over this morning. There's somebody next to me. That was Nathaniel, but still. Normally it's my wife. Okay? I'm just slack. How do you
hear
you say?
Yeah.
I preached at Philadelphia, man. Made fun of it the next day preaching. You were there, Timothy.
Yeah.
They made fun of that. You don't know all that about God moving there, blah, blah, blah. And I knew what I said, well, he might have got a different God than I got. When God moved to my house, everything changed, buddy. The decor changed, the attitude changed, the DVDs changed, VCR tapes, they changed. That's a little box thing. That's a little wheel thing. The music changed. My dress code changed. My language changed.
Amen.
My walks to change. My refrigerator changed.
Yeah.
My bar changed.
Yeah.
Did you change bars when you got saved? Hey, amen. I left a drink while we're down to the water.
Amen.
Don't be offended by that. Amen. Been drinking at that faucet ever since.
Amen.
Everything changed when I got saved.
That's right.
What did you say?
See it?
I love my father. Dead, deep dad. Love. He down that nursing home. They called us, called my sister yesterday. Said, your dad can't go back to his apartment. Not because of his health, he hasn't paid his rent in 3 months. I told my sister, I said, let's find out what's that rent to see if we can pay. She called back. I said, well, I have to go to the nursing home. You know, they're going to pay back rent. They felt sorry for my dad, and wouldn't be a page rent in a year. That's my dad. I would love my dad.
Amen.
I'm not putting it off. I felt the boots in my ribs. I had the bruises.
Yeah.
I had the beatings. I would love my dad.
Amen.
You know why? It was a miracle on the inside.
Praise God.
There was a miracle of the new birth. Now people say, well, he doesn't do that for everybody. I know some folks in this room, I know their story. I know where God brought them from.
Sure.
I know the abuse they suffered. I know that hellish is all their lives. I've watched God work for the new earth. And there's some other ways. Some of them folks, you folks here, just took them right in. Never questioned one time they were saved or lost. You know why? Your speech is right in. Tell them yourself. Now listen. I'm laborers, and I know you don't think this walk's like going to bother you one bit. But Bay's one of our mottos. We don't care what people think about us. He falls around and learns that's true real quick. My wife goes, just because we don't care what you think about us, we don't have to embarrass us on purpose. We labor for people. It's a crisis forward.
Amen.
I said, until Christ is formed. Still say? You know what? How old are you to say? She doesn't really know this month, 7 days, or 8 days, maybe. 4 hours, 9 minutes, 7 seconds.
Amen. Yeah.
Now listen.
Yeah.
She called me back in June to meet me. She started asking me some questions. They were foolish questions. They were dumb questions. It's about belief. You know, she said, how do I believe? You asked me that. And I said, well, to the old scripture, it's kind of a miracle too. Because you're just flesh like I am. My faith can only go so far with Jesus Christ. If I turn from my ways, turn from my sin, turn from my wretchedness, some man's come to see you and say, on the road you preached it right. When I started,
Amen.
Yes, amen.
I took that first step and came to where I was. He kissed me, those kisses of forgiveness. Put that robe upon me, put that ring upon my finger. Put that fatted calf.
Yes.
Love me with everlasting love, and with loving kindness, is that I promise. What more do you need? What more do you want? I pray the prayer. I'm good. Sister Vicki. Y'all down back to church? Down the basement of her church on that Sunday night. The young lady asked her what was wrong. She just couldn't even speak. She ran to her car, and the car on the way home told her husband, I'm lost. Her husband had enough sense to put the kids in bed, sent her to a room. Late that night, she come out of her room, told her husband that she found peace.
Amen.
Next night, she met my wife. This is a lady who hid from us, was bitter. I mean, it showed her. I told my wife, first of all, that's a bitter woman right there. She'd hide from me, didn't want to talk to me, wouldn't look. She met us at the door. Bubbling over with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
as a way for 4.5 years. Your husband's, I got a new wife. You know what the problem was? She's a little girl, Sunday school teacher. Scared her into repeating work. And she said it almost sent me to hell. Again, doing the work of the Holy Ghost, God forbid. God forbid. Another young lady we know, way up north, said her Sunday school teacher so pressured her as a little girl, so pressured her that she felt like she had to make a profession. She held on until 23 years old. By the way, I remember preaching, thou shalt believe in thy heart. Thou shalt be saved. She came up 2 days later with my wife and I was saved. Tears running down her face and God saved. So my Sunday school teacher pushed me. Folks here know a lady up in New York, she got saved this last year. 70 years old. 16 years old, her Sunday school teacher got to make a profession of faith. She told my wife and I, she said, I've always been scared that I have to call her and tell her I wasn't really saved because it meant so much to me. We walked down the kitchen last year. She said, I thought her other son, tears running down, and she's sobbing uncontrollably. I walked over towards the sink. She turns around and just grabbed my arm and said, God save me. I said,
Amen.
I said, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. You want to hear a really weird story? I was preaching the Psalms of Asaph on Twinkie Night. And his brother got saved. Now, that's a weird story. I asked a young man to sing a song at my great meeting this year. As a young man on the platform to sing a song, couples started testifying. They said about Brother Morey, he was so influential. The pastor asked him, said he said one time Brother Morey cussed in the pulpit. He was rough, man. I'm telling you, you know Brother Morey, he was rough. He's still rough. And he was so mean, he turned his preacher license. I can't ever preach again. I'm so ashamed. I'm so rough. His pastor told him, hey, you'll be back in the pulpit. He apologized to folks and move on. The boy said, and he went to us and he never comes to the pulpit again. The boy said, good night, you should have been Sunday school class. Because I like it was. And don't go offended about that. What? You were there. They testified on the influence she had on getting down to their face and something. It's not exaggeration.
You know why? You know what's wrong with your son? You're a wicked little punk. You know why you're a little punk? You don't have God. You don't have God because you're wicked.
Right. That's how he calls on this.
Yes, sir.
Almost like Carl, but it's spiritual. Amen. Now, I'll teach Sunday school that way. Anybody hear that? They don't work Sunday school class, I say. Where are you? How many got saved your Sunday school class? That's what Dale wants you up here to preach. 8:00. 11:30 at night. He finished preaching. But don't let that bother. I know it can make you nervous. Made a lot of folks nervous. I dismissed twice. I said, what else would you preach? But you need to go. No, not too many folks left. What did you say?
Amen.
You all okay with that?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, Lord.
Well, that wasn't the way you're supposed to do it. That's not what they taught us in Bible college. That's not the Romans road. That's not the highest highway. That's not the Wallace walkway.
Praise God.
It's on the Anderson Alley. There's that 2 or 3 out there from people. It's gone. Hey, God gave a lot.
Hey.
Now listen, I'm not exaggerating. Probably the most wicked, vile preacher son you ever meet. Open. The rest is high. I said open. When God did, God met it. error.
Yes.
Father, we love you.
Lord.
Amen. Praise God.
Thank God. I shall.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Woo! Hey, we saved 6 weeks. When'd you get born of God?
Intuition.
When'd you get that miracle?
Yeah.
When'd you come to Texas? Be real clear about something. I'm not trying to just choose four, just many to sort of testify different ones across this congregation. The young people can say from this church and this camp, thank God. I'm preaching what is happening. I'm preaching the adult time behind that charade of religion.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm preaching the adult time behind that facade.
Yeah.
I'm chewing old Nick out one time. He made me so mad. More than once. He wanted to fight me one time. I was like, man. I'm truth, honest. I knocked you out. I said, come on. Then I saw he did the thing and I realized I thought we got shoot. You say, how about it's in church? I love ministry. Hey, I don't want to go ministry. You know why? Because I got sinners on my ministry.
Hey.
Oh, I'm not broke. I said I got sinners
on
my ministry.
Oh yeah.
I got all myself right. I got sinners under my ministry. Amen.
Amen.
We don't know fellow near blame. They're not talking to this day if I don't cuss a joke. And he'll go, oh, pardon my friends. I use your dad's. I go, that's not friendship. Amen. Now, I know some of you, you know, you're doing a snake there. Well, John, remember where you come from. It's having a great season. You sure?
Yes, sir. Yes.
They put the blue hair and the bow in the nose. Some of you girls I just love anyway. You off your high horse, quit thinking you're spiritual.
Yeah.
And if you were spiritual, you love. Amen. And amen. If you were saved, you had compassion on.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
How dare they come in here like that? It's our neighbor church. I told my wife, I said, you just pray. Just, we may lose friends over this. She walked in the door of the house and gave me to go to church. I told my wife, I said, why don't you sit in the car? You stand between her and her. Put her in the back seat where I can't see her. Amen. True story. She walks into church. She said hello to everybody. Hello. Hi. I'm Karen. Hi. How's she shaking? Shaking hands. Walking. Waiting for me. Like some of you. Some of you can say girls, women. That hit a nerve, didn't it? Like, not like y'all be rubbing eyes on that one. She defiled the church. You can't defile the church. If you haven't defiled the church by now, it's not going to be defiled. So shut up. If you haven't defiled the church with your attitude and your self-righteousness, God's church can't be defiled. Hallelujah, glory to God. Has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
And don't you ever forget to be washed and been cleansed.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. You lose sight of that. You wither up on the vine of God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen. There's men in this room I've had to come preach in my home. We invited our neighbors, friends, family. Almost not allow us to come over the other day. He just couldn't quite make it. I go to the Rose come preach in my living room. You say, what kind of effect is that? As a preacher up in Lebanon, Pennsylvania, God broke me that night. A dear friend of mine. He's up there so cold and so indifferent on God. But he sat there and wept in the dining carpets. I don't know what time we remember. My brother went up a letter, but he just wept and cried. He called me a couple weeks later, brother, hey, I want you to come preach. He's got to come preach. I need somebody to come preach to me on a Sunday. And he's just sitting there weeping and broken. His family's been wrecked. His church has been wrecked. I didn't care if people say. That's weird. When God gave my wife a covered back porch, I was as long as a shelter from the storm, the tabernacle. We've used it as such. I've had drug addicts on that back porch preached to. We've had religious austerity folks on that back porch preached to. We've had people with bones in their nose, purple hair, We have people high, the eyes roll back in their heads. Had people drinking liquor, sitting on that, not actively, but being drunk and sitting on that back porch, listening to preaching. We've got a whole bunch of self-righteous religious people sitting on that back porch. Preaching. Stephen, sometime this summer, this fall, your wife will come down and preach for us. We'll show that the other day. Why don't you have that thought?
Yes.
The God of the apostle, the God of the safe sinners.
Yeah.
Why don't you have that? Take wife through a little box or on a shelf. This is your God.
Yeah.
He makes you happy. He does good things for you. And you're content with that. And I'm not content with that.
Yeah.
I want you to have it.
Amen.
I've never put it in a box. I put everything at risk. I know this irritates people. I've had registered sex offenders in my home with my children there. I've had perverts, whores, dopers, liars, thieves, drunks. I even had some money there.
Amen.
He said, such. Come on, help me out.
Words. Praise God.
Y'all just praise
Him
for
that. Amen.
Hallelujah. Y'all just praise Him. Thank you. I'm not what I was.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Bless His holy name.
Amen.
Yes.
Well, Jeremy talked about being a cute little church boy. A church, little church boy. Amen. I want to be part of that one. I told Abraham earlier, I was talking about John and the newlywed. You know, talking about, he's ugly, I'm ugly. And Abraham said, well, you're men. I said, thank God for Abraham. That's right. You never seen a good looking man.
Yeah. Amen.
Especially up here. Such work. Such work.
Amen.
Don't you wish that was your past?
Amen.
Sure. Don't you want that behind you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Don't you want that in the past? Look in the rear view mirror and say, thank God.
Glory to God. Amen.
Woo! Glory to God.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. That's right.
It's all behind me now.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you.
And there was nothing I did out of the Lord.
That's right.
Nothing I've done to keep.
That's right.
Thank
it's all
God.
Hey. You put me under condemnation for the word of God. All I did was agree.
Yeah. Oh, hey.
You say it's that simple, you better believe.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Praise
God.
Yeah.
God.
How lost are you?
How long?
Have that faith? Do you have that confidence? Do you have that assurance?
Amen.
The work of righteousness, by the way, that's God's righteousness, not mine.
That's right.
The work of righteousness, His righteousness. By the way, they hear a lot about His righteousness. They just miss one thing. It's His Son, pure and simple.
Yeah.
I hear guys preach about the glory of God. And they'll preach about the Shekinah, whatever that is. You need that out of your Bible. The glory of God is the person of Jesus Christ. When that glory filled the tabernacle, it was Jesus Christ. When that glory filled Solomon's temple, it was Jesus Christ. And the glory of God is still the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And the glory of God gives us knowledge in the person of Jesus Christ. That's an inward visit from a holy God. He is the righteousness of God.
Yes.
Don't let bust your theology prove you wrong on that. You know, there's this cloud and he just lifts up into heaven. How about Jesus Christ? You know? The work of righteousness shall be peace. You have peace. The effect of righteousness, quietness, assurance. How you resting? How's your peace? One of the greatest days of my life is when I woke up in the morning and the yoke was gone.
Amen.
The condemnation is
gone.
Amen. I was free.
Amen.
Yeah.
All the men would praise the Lord for his goodness. And for his wonderful works.
Yep.
How about you? Do you have that? You know, it's amazing. I've had some of these folks even here tonight that have gotten saved. And they told me, they said, you know, when you all talk about that, I didn't believe it. But the Rose would preach this kind of, they say, I just didn't believe that existed. They said, you're preaching. I don't believe it existed. Pastor Ricky Black, who preached at our church, my niece said, I just thought you all were just preaching. I didn't know that life really existed. Hey, listen, she's not 16 years old, backwards as could be. I'll stand her up in the service in the heart. You know what she does? She opens her mouth. I'll say, hey, please testify. She'll say, I want to thank God, buddy. She'll just run. You say, what does that mean? Well, she testified to servants on Dr. Bigwig, PhD, now been born of God. He testified, and something she said in the testimony service pricked his heart. He realized he didn't know.
Amen. Amen.
There might have been something said this week in a testimony. And you said, I don't have it.
Yeah.
Might have been something in the preaching. I don't know. The whole church service is important. But the heart is announces, yo, listen to me. Why does he have to talk so much? Why don't you listen to what he says? He's been a couple times, he says something like, oh. A couple things when the Rose said, I went, oh. This couple things said in testimonies, I went, oh. Now, nothing I said, but that kind of foolish. Start shouting on preaching. Like, oh, that's your preacher on the back. Woo! How about it? I'm done. So, you don't have this.
See it?
You want it?
New name written down in glory. That song just was going through my head as he was preaching there, and the man he was talking about preaching for 3.5 hours. The man he was talking about preaching for 3.5 hours, Brother Maury, had been quite harsh when I was in Sunday school as a kid and said pretty harsh stuff, just over the top, some of it, just crazy. And I was a pastor's son who that pastor said crazy stuff, and my dad would say crazy stuff, and Del Morey would just like say crazier stuff, in my opinion.
and it seemed like just to get under your skin at times.
Amen.
And then like 2 weeks before that meeting, a month and a half ago, I had gone over to help Brother Morey with a fan in his bedroom because it was hot. And he had texted me and asked me 3 or 4 different times to come get his fan working. And I finally ran over there to get his fan going. And while I'm standing on top of a chair over top of his bed, he's just needling me and telling me what a scumbag I am, essentially. Told me all the ass with kids. He thought I had absolutely zero love of the truth. And that really got under my skin. And I was arguing with him. And continued to argue with him until he kicked me out of his house at like midnight or something.
Like a man of God.
And I was really bitter with him, bitter with my dad. And then he was preaching that night. And God had showed me these three different, or just brought 3 different verses that just kept coming to my head. One of them was a wise son heareth his father's instruction in Proverbs 13, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. And there were some things my dad was telling me that I thought were pretty crazy, and I just hated it every time he'd bring it up, and I just get bitter.
Come on, John. Hey.
And
that's right.
That kept, every time I'd go to the altar that week, as I sat on the front row, nice and close to the altar, and I'd get back on the altar and be weeping and think, woe is me, I'm never going to get saved, I can't get this thing. And then that bitterness just kept coming up through that. Those couple of verses would come to my mind and I'd get really bitter, and I went out and hashed it out with my dad the night before I got saved and told him what I thought and why his advice was stupid. And the next night I just, Brother Dale was preaching and 4 of my brothers were up and they had testified and sang, and ultimately, it just came down to believing the Word of God, believing those couple of verses that he had pricked my heart about, which, in my opinion, had absolutely nothing to do with salvation. It had nothing to do with what I thought I needed to work on. It was just, it was this other issue over here that I kept just like, why is that keep coming up? That's not important. Why is that? I just kept pushing it off because it didn't even have anything to do with salvation, and I didn't think. And that night, God finally kind of brought all that to a head, and everybody always talks about the simplicity in Christ Jesus, and it was very simple in that moment. It was very simple. I just chose to believe that these verses were true. And not just that they were true, like, intellectually, because I grew up with a Baptist pastor who preached the King James Bible and was very dogmatic about that. And I always understood, I would argue with people about the King James Bible, but I believed, not just intellectually, but I believed that they were for me, that they applied to me.
Amen.
That's what I had been fighting so long, just like, yeah, that's true, but not in this situation. And I finally just believed. And it was only probably quarter way through that service, maybe halfway through that service, and I sat back up. I didn't really have anything else to pray about. And I just had peace that Brother Big Bay was talking about, just no more condemnation. I just like sat and I was just kind of
Amen.
Sitting listening to Brother Dale, who had just scorched me a couple weeks ago, and I was really bitter with him 20 minutes before. And then I just had peace.
Oh my.
I didn't hate him.
What a miracle.
There was no more condemnation. Then every time I'd go to service after that, every church, every Bible study, I've enjoyed.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.